in the house of the Lord. Go ahead, musicians, be seated if you'd like to. Really appreciated the songs they sung, and I tell you what, God is always with us. As Brother Jim said, sometimes he's just a whisper away, and a lot of times you'll feel like he's far away if you go through those areas in your life. I left my glasses at work, so you'll have to bear with me. I'm going to have to really, really squint to be able to see your faces, so I'm going to trust you're still there, and you're praising the Lord, amen? Amen. We come here, and I know that God is able, more than able, to give us what we have need of. And I've got several scriptures that I've given to the wonderful multimedia lady, and I don't know that we'll get to all those scriptures, but they're prepared just in case. We'll just let the Lord take control in a service. You know, I don't think we should ever tie a service to what we put down. You know, because sometimes you can absolutely feel the inspiration, and I think that's great. It's a wonderful thing, but there's sometimes, you know, somebody in the congregation can reach out and touch the hem of the garment and say, I've got a need, and I need you to address my need. And a minister needs to be able to let go and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go do what you have to do here. So I want you to keep that in mind in any service. If you have a need and you need God to meet your need, you have the authority to do that. You have an ability that you can cause a minister to stop what he's doing and completely turn around and address your need individually. And that's truly, absolute truth. Amen. Yeah. I want to speak to you on a little thought this morning. Mustard seed faith in action. Mustard seed faith in action. And go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Matthew 13, 31 and verses 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among all herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And let's go to one more scripture in St. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. There was a small gathering. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and I want to thank you for this opportunity to be here, Lord. And Lord God, as you have given me the subject of direction, Lord, of a way to go, Lord, you know I felt nervous in myself, and I honestly, from the integrity of my heart, I said, Lord, why me preach a faith message like this, Lord? Lord, it's something that I believe it's something that needs to be said, Lord. I believe it's something that you've laid on my heart, Lord, so much here lately, Lord, that faith that we need in this hour. We love you. I ask you, Lord, help me to get myself out of the way, because I can't do it, Lord. I cannot do it myself, but I know that you, Lord, you can do all things. I commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The disciples did not recognize who Jesus was. Now, this was a time to just kind of build a little background. This was a time where it was a break between revivals. Jesus had been praying for the sick, These disciples were right there with him, seeing people being healed, praying for people, miracle after miracle taking place. This was a time whenever the revival's fire seemed like it kind of died down just a little bit. And these imagine the disciples were sitting with one another as Jesus was in the boat, and I imagine they began to talk about the things that they saw, the miracles that they saw Jesus do, as we've done for 40 years now. Hello?
Right.
Talked about, said, you know what? God did great miracles. I remember one time where a little girl's eyes didn't even have any eyes, and he was going to pray for this little girl, and he literally took the little girl and says, little girl, what color eyes would you like to have? And she said, I'd like to have blue. And turned her eyes around, and immediately, where there was no eyes, all of a sudden, a little girl's got blue eyes. Now, there was miracles of people that would have be dead on a bed, and they were so sick that just literally a puff of wind would blow them off of the bed. They were so sickly, and it looked absolutely impossible. The doctor said, we've done all we can do. I'm sorry, make your gathering. Get your family together because I'm sorry, there's nothing else I can do. He honestly, from the integrity of his heart, did all he could do. But that's when Jesus can take over. Now, in the prayer meetings of Brother Branham, there was many meetings. How many knows the same Jesus that we're talking about was in the meetings of Brother Branham?
Yeah.
And the same Jesus is here today. Amen. The same God that can perform a miracle in those days is the same God that's among us here today.
Right.
And I imagine these disciples, as they were going across in this ship, and I want you to think of this, God, you know, man has a tendency to try to make the gospel too complicated. He tries to make it look like you got to be a really sophisticated, educated person to be able to understand. But who did Jesus go to? Did he go to the scholars? He went to the fishermen. He went to the simple men. These are men that were skilled on a boat. And I'm here to tell you something. You can talk to a fisherman, a skilled fisherman. I'm not a skilled fisherman. My brother Tim, he's a skilled fisherman. I think I'd put him on that level. Every once in a while, I'll get a blind fish or something, and I'll get lucky. And I'll hook him just right. He don't know any better. He just bites my fish, and I happen to get him in. And I'll take it. I'll take a blind fish. Yeah. But brother Tim, he's a real skilled fisherman. And you know what? Think about a fisherman. They have a tendency to be on a boat a lot of time. And these disciples were men that were on the boat quite often. And you know, this wasn't their first storm that they've been through. This wasn't the first. We aren't talking about a bunch of boys that come from the city and said, hey, let's get in a boat and we're going to follow Jesus. And they've seen a little storm come and they were panicking. No, we're talking about men that were fishermen, and they did it for a living. We're talking about men that were seasoned, and they knew. They've seen storms come. They've seen times take place. These are men that have been through these things. But this was a storm to the level that the waves were beating the ship. And the fisherman says, I ain't never been in a storm like this. There was water that was literally coming into their boat, and the boat began to sink. And you know what? They were no longer talking about the revivals. They were looking at the circumstance. And I want to say this so often, how quickly we forget what God had done in our midst. God moved in our life, and we say, I'll never let this go. But yet we find out the first huge storm that comes to take place, we say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus was inside the boat, sleeping on a pillow. And I wonder if Jesus ain't been in a boat for 40 plus years, sitting in there on a pillow, he said, I'm waiting for this little bride to finally wake up and say, call on me. You don't have to walk in turmoil. You don't have to let these things stay in front of you. You know the scripture said, if you have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can say in this mountain, thou be removed, and it'll be removed. Now, do you believe scripture is put in the Bible just to be there? You know, you've seen some houses, they'll put stuff there, and it literally serves no purpose. Now, I don't say this to be funny, but it's to make a point. My wife literally bought a window for me to hang on the wall, and you can't see through the window. It's just a window hanging on the wall. As far as I can see, That serves absolutely no purpose. When she said that to me, I thought she was joking. I said, yeah, we'll get shutters put across there, and we'll put the gutters across the top. Yeah, that'll look real good. I seriously thought she was joking, and I could tell immediately her response to what I said, she wasn't joking. And she didn't find it as funny as I did. But I can see the brothers' faces somewhat from here, and I can see they think it's pretty funny. Yeah. But you know, that to me, that doesn't serve a purpose. It's just there. But you know, you got scriptures in the Bible that says, if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, thou be removed. Right. And you know what? You can have this mountain and you can say, thou mountain be removed. It's not going to be an instantaneous thing. Well, God could if you wanted to. But I believe it'll be a little bit of gravel fall off the top of that hill. A little bit of gravel fall off that hill. And a little bit at a time, what I'm saying is, a lot of times your faith is working, you just don't realize it. A lot of times you've got that grain of a mustard seed faith, you just don't realize it. The thing about a grain of a mustard seed is you can mix a lot of other seeds, you can put them together and they'll mix and they'll turn to a... You can't do that with a mustard seed. How many knows that? A mustard seed faith is an original faith. And how many knows where faith comes from? The Word of God gives us the answer. See, it says that faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And how could you hear without a preacher? And how could he preach lest it was him? We're talking about, so faith is going to come from some. So you can have a faith that's a normal faith, of a casual faith, or you can have the faith, the grain of a mustard seed. And it has a lot to do with what kind of word are we having preached to us. Because you know what? You can take the hybrid. You can make the tomatoes look good. You can make the pumpkins look good. You can do all these things. But it's not going to produce what you need it to produce. It looks good. It's pretty. But it can't reproduce itself. I'm talking about a mustard seed faith that can literally produce something inside your life that will eventually produce a rapture. Because you know, we live this life by... And so many times Jesus went to these people, and we're going to find this as we get further on. He asked them, where is your faith? Now, how many knows why the children of Israel could not enter into the promised land? It was because of their unbelief. They had a message. They had a prophet. They could not believe the word of God. Amen. Jesus did not, the disciples did not recognize who Jesus was. It was not the disciples. And would you catch this? It was not the disciples' decision. Hey, let's go cross over here. Jesus told them, let's cross over. They were following the Lord, and a storm came upon them. So many times, you know, somebody will see a family, they go in a church, or family, somebody going through trials, and they'll say, well, if they'd have been led by the Lord, they wouldn't have that problem. If that family was led by the Lord, they wouldn't be going through these trials. Sound like those witnesses that went to visit Job, don't they? But these are people that Jesus told them, let's cross over. These people followed the voice of Jesus, and then trials started to come upon them. Amen. A lot of times, just like I said, we don't realize we have faith. A lot of times, we're being led by the Lord and don't even realize it. Amen. Too many people try to prejudge others and say there must be a secret sin in this family's life because of the trials. This was a people that was obeying the voice, and they were met with calamity. They were following the voice, and they had troubles to the point that they literally felt like their master did not care about them. I want to ask you, if you'll just be honest with me this morning. How many times in yourself can you go through a point that devil will put you in a thought of a frame of mind that he honestly does not even care what I'm going through? I'm going through these trials. I know I should have faith. I know I should do that. And the devil will make you feel it's just your stinking thinking. The devil will do that. Amen? They saw Jesus do miracles and didn't doubt that God would do miracles for other people. They just could not believe that he was going to do a miracle for them. Amen. Brother Graham says, someone was telling me, I believe it was my brother back there, telling a little story today about a man. He was a minister of some congregation, and he said he could walk on a log. someone from the congregation, he says, "Pastor, sure you can. The Lord's with you." He said, "I can pack a log on my back when I go across." "Sure, the Lord's with you." He went on and done it. He said, "I can pack a log and a wheelbarrow across that same time." "Sure, Pastor, the Lord is with you. Your faith can do anything." He said, "I can put you in the wheelbarrow and pack the log." He said, "Now wait a minute. Now when the pastor says, "I can do this, I will walk this line, oh yeah, sure, preacher. We know God's with you. God can do that for you. Not only can I walk across this log, I can do it with a log on my back. I can walk by faith." "Oh, sure, preacher, you can do it." "I can do it by pushing a wheelbarrow." "Yes, sir, preacher, you can do that. I can do it with you inside the wheelbarrow." "Oh, wait a minute. I don't know about that. That's going a little too far." Now, a lot of times the Word of God can be preached to you, and you say, "You can have these things. You can tell this, you, individually. You can say, 'Mountain, be thou removed.'" "Sure, preacher, yeah, you can do that. You can do that, but I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. You can do that." Brother Tony said something at the last service, I believe it was, Brother Tony, it might have been the one before. He said his wife, forgive me for using something funny, but I thought it was good. He said his wife would send him a text message, and I can't remember what something lovey-dovey, I don't remember what it was, but he was talking to him, and he said, "Me? Me? Yes, you. You're the one. And I'm saying the same thing to you this morning. You shall say to this mountain, 'Thou be removed.'" Amen. You can be confronted with sickness, and you can take the Word of God and say, "By His stripes, I am healed."
Amen.
You can say, "I got the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
You can say, "I've been sealed to the day of my redemption." You can say, "Me? Yep. You." I love that, Brother Tony. Sisters say that we don't pay attention to them or something like that. I don't know. But I thought that was an outstanding example. Amen. God wants us to have faith to ride in His wheelbarrow. And so many of God's wonderful people are suffering, and they feel like their ship is full of water. They feel one trial after another, one wave after another, and it can feel like total chaos at some times. When a ship is deep in the ocean, it can be so far out that land can't even be in sight. And this was the midst of what they were going through. This was the trial. I'm going to try to skip a lot of this stuff. Brother Brennan says this. He says, "And today, that's what's happened to the churches. We talk about it. We have so much intellectual till men are so trained to the Scripture, till they can bring a message that will, you can't lay a finger on it. But where is God? That's what I want to know. Where is the manifestation?" See, intellectual sermons. The Bible said just before the antediluvian destruction, Jesus said, "So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Noah, there were giants in the earth." There were giants, great statue of men. And today, there is intellectual giants. There is men who are, great men, great powerful men. They know Greek just like they know Hebrew and everything, and can set it all together, so intellectual. But where is that revival? Where is that God that burns on the heart of a human being? Not how intellectual it is. It takes simplicity to bring the power of God. Then they found, like we have today, the trouble set in, the ship began to rock, the winds blow, the sails away. The water filled up the boat. What? All hope was gone. All hope survival. These were people that had God in their midst. But we're living in a day where there are giants. There are preachers that are giants. Oh, I love that preacher. I love that. Number one, I'm not trying to knock a preacher at all. They can preach a sermon that, it makes you feel so good. You can have Holy Ghost bombs. You can do these things. I'm here to tell you. This is Brother Daniel talking plain with you. If it doesn't change your walk, it don't do you any good. You agree with that?
That's right.
I can be a doctor and I can come in there with the finest black shoes, nice white coat, nice expensive thing to put in the ear, the stethoscope. I can come in there and I can use great swelling words. But if I'm here to tell you something, if I ain't helping you, I ain't doing you no good. Amen?
Right.
And this message has come to do some good. Yeah. We got a message in the bottle that can change lives. We got a message. We got proof of it in this church right here.
Right.
I'm here to tell you, in this church right here, we can see service after service. That old devil will try to put a sickness on somebody. He'll put an affliction on somebody. And Dr. Jesus will come in. He might be in Brother Tony. He might be in Brother Daniel. He might be another visiting minister come through here. But they'll take the stethoscope and walk up here with the Word of God. Put it next to your back and say, I want you to take a deep breath. Uh-huh. I see that. Does this hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, doctor, that hurts. You know why a lot of times people don't ever get better when they go to the doctor? Sometimes it's not it's a bad doctor. It's they lie to the doctor. The doctor will ask you, does that hurt when I do that?
Nope,
that don't hurt. Take a deep breath. Does that hurt?
No, that don't hurt at all.
And you know he's taking the Word of God and he is right. He can't get no more close to you. He'll be right at you. I'll tell you something, a testimony myself. There's nothing better than putting yourself on the pedestal of saying, this is what you don't do. I remember I was at a Louisiana camp several years ago. I was going through a time where I said, Lord, I need you to just speak to my heart through the Word. Speak to me. Make it to a point, God. And I was sincere before God. I kept way before service started. I was in there pouring my heart out. I said, God, I ask you to make it to a point to where I cannot resist. I will know this was for me. There was a brother by the name of Ron Spencer. I believe his name is. He's got a big belt. I'm not talking about because he's a big guy. I'm talking about he gave me a spanking. Like, oh boy. He was preaching this message. And he was going through there, and I'm sitting back there in the seat. And I'm like, yeah, they need that. They need that. You know, a lot of times when we go to church, we'll take a pitchfork with us. And what we do is you take that pitchfork and say, oh, that brother needs that. Oh, yeah, get you some of that, brother. Oh, sister, yeah, you preach that, brother. Hey, man, sister, get you some of that. You know, a lot of times we take a pitchfork when we really need to take a rake and say, that's right, preacher. Yes, I need that. I need that. Well, I'm telling you what, he was preaching that message, and I was like, that's right, brother, you preach it. You preach it, brother, you preach it. And he said, some people just don't get it so simple. He walked all the way down there. I ain't kidding. He walked right over and he said, I'm talking to you. And I'm sitting right in my face. If I could have dug a hole under my chair, I would have dug it and I would have put the chair back on top of it. You got to be careful sometimes what you pray for. Because the Lord will answer prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes the preacher's got to get right in your face and say, I'm talking. No, look at me. Look. Look at me. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. What, me? Yes, you. You will have faith to move that mountain. You have faith to walk this message. You have faith. Don't look at somebody else. I'm talking to you. I'm going to do my best not to walk over your chair and put my finger in your face. I did to him, he's my boy, so. But I say that, you know, a lot of times we have to be honest with the Word of God when it's preaching to us.
Right.
A lot of times a person, before they go to the doctor, they say, I'm just going to be honest with him. I'm going to pour it all out to him. I'm not going to leave anything back. I'm going to tell him anything about it. And then when you get there, like, I ain't going to talk about that. You've got to just lay it open. Because the only person you're hurting is yourself.
Right.
And I say that, but you're actually hurting everybody else. Because you know what? We're a body. And one joint supply to the other. And if you're not doing your job, somebody else has got to step from their position to help you. That's right. If one member of your body is not doing what it's supposed to do, somebody else has got to pick up the slack. If you're not picking up your dirty dishes, someone's got to pick up your dirty dishes around the house. If you're not picking up your dirty laundry, hello. Someone's got to pick up that dirty laundry. You think that the way you act around the house don't matter? Yes, it does. Because one joint supplied to the other. Amen. Right. And we all got a position.
Right.
You happen to see, you know, myself today or Brother Tony, or you'll see Brother Tim picking his guitar up here. You'll see certain people more than others. There are some people you never see. But I'm here to tell you may not step out in the forefront, but you
matter.
That's right.
What you do matters. Amen. What you do the night before service matters. What you do on your downtime matters.
Right.
Because you, me, yes, you will affect the service.
Amen.
In a negative way, and guess what? In a positive way.
Right.
Whenever you're doing the right things and you say, you know what, God put it on my heart, I'm going to fast for this moment, for the service, I'm going to fast and pray. When God lays it on your heart, do you realize when you obey the Lord, you have a positive impact to the body of Christ. You have a positive impact to the local church. But at the same time, get ready for it, when the Lord lays it on your heart to pray, the Lord lays it on your heart, to read your Bible, when the Lord lays it on your heart to listen to a message, you say, I'm not going to do that. You, me? Yes, you have a negative effect on the body. You have a negative effect on the service. Lord, help us to do better. We're not talking about walking in legalistic. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're talking about, the more little things that I can do as far as, and I'm slacking big time on it, and try to get flowers for my wife, little things like that. I am the worst. I'll see Brother Tim put something on there, and Sister Catherine, it's been a while. I said I wasn't going to put the finger in the face, and there I did. It's been a while since I haven't done it. But you know, it's little things that you can do, those little things like that, and you cause a positive effect to your relationship. When you have... sorry about that. The Lord will put something on your heart to do that little thing to your wife. Nobody else will know about it. We used to. They got Facebook now. That's how Brother Daniel heard about it. But you know what I'm saying. There's little things that you can do. And the little things that you can say, well, that's legalistic. Man shouldn't have to buy his wife flowers. Should not have to do that. You don't have to. But it's a relationship. And because you have a relationship and he loves her and he loves to see the smile on her face, he'll do it because he loves her. And the wife, she'll make that apple pie. She'll make those desserts. She'll do those little things just exactly right. Why? Not because it's legalistic. Because she loves him. And listen, my brothers and sisters, and what I'm talking to you about today, this ain't legalistic. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Whenever you individually can walk with God and you individually can have a positive effect on the body of Christ. Amen. And that's what I want you to focus on, is the positive. You can have a positive effect. Here's another quote of Brother Branham. He talks about something similar to this. What is disease? What is this dreadful thing that comes upon people? Let's diagnose it just a moment. Some people has went so much to say that sickness was a blessing. I heard a minister on the radio here not long ago say that God put sickness on people to show their humility and to suffer for him and to show patience. If that would be truth, then Jesus defeated his own cause. He defeated his own purpose. Never one place in the Bible is that scriptural. Any apostle or any prophet or even Jesus himself ever declared that to be truth. That's negative thinking. And you're only trying to excuse your unbelief, preacher, by hiding behind such a theory as that. That's not God's word. What we need today is an old-fashioned, God-sent revival back to the Bible and the baptism of the Holy Spirit preached in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to bring people back to the faith in the resurrected God. Not some dead theology that's gone years ago and hatched off new different denominations. We need a Bible-believing faith. Say amen.
Amen.
We have been, show me one time when Brother Brunham said, you're meant to have that. No, I believe that if you have a sickness coming from you, there's something that brings a fire inside me that when you see something come up, you stand your ground and say, I am not selling for this. Sometimes the service will come to you because something's coming. Keep that in mind, brothers and sisters.
When something comes at you, and you, whenever you know what this coming towards you, you need to stand your ground and don't let that devil say, well, this is this so I can show the grace of God. No. You take God at his word and say, I am healed. How many people in Brother Brenham's meeting walked for 40 years sick on a deathbed? And preachers would say, oh, this is supposed to be this way. This is just by the grace of God. This is what it's supposed to be. But then all of a sudden, here come a little hillbilly, come through the Spirit of God, be a part of this man. And this man that accepted that this is what it has to be, heard something in that hour, had a visitation of the Holy Ghost in that hour, and God brought a healing in their body. Where people that were on their deathbed have been raised up. I'm here to tell you, you know, we live in the darkest age. I don't have to tell you this. The media and everything, the corruption, all these things right here. In the midst of all this, we have a sound message where we can have a sound mustard seed faith. And I want to say, I thank God for a pastor that gives us a sound message week after week after week after week.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen?
You don't know how blessed we are to have what we have here. And I am not talking about, I'm talking about our pastor, Brother Tony. And Brother Tony would never say this about himself. But I'm here to tell you, that's a man that will come week after week after week and bring forth the word of God. And he'll preach that message and he'll bring it forth. And I'm here to tell you, you think Brother Tony feels like Superman all the time? You think Brother Tony feels like he's got a cape on his back and he's walking through and he'll say, let me just go to this service. Let me just preach this. Let me preach the word of God. You think Brother Tony goes all week long and he don't have no trials? You think Brother Tony goes all week long and he has no worries? The devil will try to go after your shepherd. Because if he can get the shepherd, he'll scatter the sheep. And I'm here to tell you, the man we need to pray for diligently, week after week after week, is your pastor.
Yes.
We need to pray for him. God, give him the strength to never deviate. God, give him a backbone that he'll never, never let go of the word of God. Don't worry about feelings, because we'll take care of that later on. Preach that word straight for the time.
Amen.
And I say, thank God for it.
Amen.
Amen. How many times do you ever hear Brother Tony talk about positive thinking? God is always positive. How many times have you heard Brother Tony say that? It agrees with the message.
Right.
Amen. Let's go to St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. St. Luke, I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 5. That's right. I thought it was that Lady Lane had this. St. Luke 11, verse 5. And it come to... And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in journey, he has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give it thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give him the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. And a house divided against a house falleth. Talking about a man that went to a a house and knocked on the door and said, I need bread. And a lot of time we'll go to God the first time and we'll say, Lord, I got this need.
I need you to meet this need.
And you might go the second time.
God, I got this need. Well, I don't want to trouble him anymore. I've already asked him twice. I'm not going to ask him. But you know what? The more persistent you can be, the more God's going to give it to you. You say, Brother Daniel, what are you talking about?
You imagine Brother Daniel coming to your house, and I'm knocking on the door, and hey, I'm to borrow some bread. You got some bread I can borrow? Oh, I ain't got no bread for you. Okay. You got some bread I can borrow?
I just told you.
No,
I don't have any bread.
Okay. Bread I can borrow. I just told you no, do not knock on my door again. Okay, I'm home, sorry. Yes, sir, bread I can borrow? No, I don't have bread for you to borrow.
Okay.
Don't come back. I said no.
Okay.
Yeah, bread I can borrow? You said, but that seems funny. I'm telling you what, when you go to God the first time, he says no, go back. God, I need this mountain moved. God, I need this mountain moved. God, I need this mountain moved. I'm here to tell you, God's either going to get sick of hearing you or God's going to answer your prayer. And I'm here to tell you, he'll answer your prayer. But a lot of times, the reason people don't get what they want or what they need is because they're not persistent enough. You'll go the first time, you'll go the second time, but after that, you say, you know what, I've already gone through it. And I agree with what Brother Tony said about this. And catch what I'm saying on this. I agree with what Brother Tony said. I'm talking about how you can receive it from up there by faith where you're at. You don't have to come to an altar. I agree. You don't have to physically walk up to an altar. Right. But I'm here to tell you, if it takes you getting at an altar for you to pray through, get to an altar.
Right.
If it takes you walking to the front and having ministry put their hands with you and join their faith with yours, walk up to the altar. Is that right, Brother Tony?
Amen.
Yes.
Now, one day you will come to the faith where you don't have to walk up there. We will. But I've got little Linky back there. If I was to expect him to try to do something that I can do, that's not right of me to do that because he's a little baby. But at the same time, I shouldn't be acting like little Linky because I should be maturing. There should be a maturing process taking place. And I love the message Brother Tony preached here the other day about how you do not have to every time go to the altar every time and pray because you're lost. No, it's not like that at all. Because the scripture says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of the Lord God, you are sealed to the day of your redemption. And I really felt that really hard. If you have to come to an altar, come to an altar. If you have to have an altar at your house, build an altar. You don't have to, but I'm telling you, if that's what it takes, what I'm saying is you do what it takes for you to get that walk with God. You take what it takes for you to have that experience with God. You agree with that?
Amen.
Brother Jeff Jenkins talked about one time, he was walking with somebody in the woods, and it was a place that they sanctioned off to pray. They sanctioned this area. He said they were walking through the woods, never told anybody about it, they were walking through, and all of a sudden the guy said, oh my goodness, wow. Feel something here. He said, you know what that is? This is where I pray. And what it was, that man sanctioned a place for God to meet him. And God was faithful to meet him there. And I'm here to tell you, if we will sanction a place, sanction a walk, sanction your walk with God, God will meet you there. But you have to sanction it.
Amen.
You have to do the same. Say, you know what? This house, my house, is a sanctuary. We sing a song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, tried and true. Mm-hmm. You really think about the words of this song. It's whenever I am keeping this thing clean to where I can't allow stuff in here that's going to hinder the Holy Ghost. You know, Brother Tony's not going to allow, Brother Tim's not going to allow certain things come inside the church of, imagine someone playing rock and roll music on the guitar. No, he's not going to do that. He said, but of course he wouldn't do that. Why not? Because it would grieve the Holy Spirit. Right?
Right.
If he were to come in here and try to present that stuff, he would step up into the office of deacon and say, no, we're not doing that. If one of the kids was trying to start running through the sanctuary, or start talking really loud. One of the people start talking really loud in the sanctuary. Brother Tim's going to step out of the friendship of just Brother Tim. He's going to step into the opposite deacon. He's going to say, hey, we don't run the sanctuary. Hey, young or old, we don't talk real loud across the sanctuary. Why? Because you can grieve the Holy Spirit for the next service. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Brennan said that a bad attitude in doing those things can look, think about this. He said a bad attitude is somebody running through the sanctuary that can knock somebody out of their healing in the next service.
That's
exactly right. The more sanction that we can make, let's just talk about this, but the more we can sanction this building to the presence of God, the more of the power of God we'll see because we're putting an effort into it. People say, well, it don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Right. And in your home, the same way. You know, there can't be fussing and stewing and those things like that. God is not with that. It should be a house of peace. And if it's not a house of peace, friends, you got to find out what's wrong.
Amen.
It's about every time Brother Daniel preaches, he preaches stuff that's stepping on toes and things like that. Why can't you just do one where I just pat you on the head sometimes, right? I know. Had to try being me.
You know, Lord, I'll be honest with you, the Lord started giving me the service, and I kind of felt like someone was looking me in the eye, and I was like, and then I was like, I don't want to go that route. Because you live, a lot of times you want to say something, just you want to pat somebody on the back and say, go team, you know, but the Lord has his way. And I'm telling you what, if we'll listen to these things the Lord's saying, I'm telling you, God will bless these services. I believe we have blessed services, don't get me wrong, but I want more. I've got a mentality. I've got something the Lord has put me. I always want to go higher. My sales reports, you know, I'm one of the, and I say this humbly because I can't do anything. God does it. But normally I'm the top three salesmen in the whole area here in those. But I'm not satisfied with that because I've got something inside me. I want higher. I want more. Better. You're about the top three. And I say this humbly. I'm not trying to. I can't do anything unless God provides. But he's got something. I don't want to settle for that. I want more. I want more. And I believe we've got the greatest services here. But friends, I want more.
Amen.
We've got the greatest miracles that takes place in service. I want more. And I believe that if we have a desire for more, God's got more for us. Amen? How many of you have got a mountain that you need moved?
Amen.
How many of you got something you say, Brother Dan, I need this moved out of the way. God will honor your faith. God will honor your faith. You know, I'll give you a little testimony with my daughter Hannah. When I was in Honduras, I gave the testimony about her feet and how we needed God to really move on her feet. And we were in a hut out there in Honduras, no electric, no water, nothing out there. And we stepped inside this hut and had this service out there, and it even rained during the service. And I gave a testimony about how God healed my daughter's feet and how she went, you know, as long as she did, and people got critical towards and said she needs to have surgery, she'll have to wear braces on her feet, and she'll have to wear these things, she'll have to wear special shoes. But something lodged inside my heart where I said, I don't believe that. I believe God's going to heal her. I've seen God heal my boy, Elijah's face used to be all messed up. I said, I don't believe that. God's going to heal her. And I give this testimony in Honduras. And about 2 years later, I go back. And I ended up going back to that same place where we had that service. And they said, Brother Daniel, so we have a special testimony service that we want to give. And they said, something very special. They said, you're going to be blessed by it. I said, oh, I know, brother. Thank you. Somebody said, no, brother, you just wait and see. That's wonderful. And sitting in the service, they were testifying. And the family of that hut had come to a point where their baby got deadly, deadly sick and had a fever that was so high that the baby was literally fixing to die. Her eye was going in the back of her head. He said that we immediately, our minds went to the service that you preached about your daughter. He said, and we knelt right here in our hut. And he said, we put our hands up, we prayed, and we said, the same God that healed Brother Daniel's daughter, we're asking that same God that will perform this miracle right now. And they said, immediately. Not because Brother Daniel can't do anything. But it's God.
Right.
They heard my testimony of what God did in my life, and it inspired their faith to believe the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, God wants to do that with you. God wants your testimony
where you can say, this is what God did in my life, and somebody else can say, I want the God of that sister. I want the God of that brother. The same God that changed their life. I want that God in my life. And here, tell you what, we're the bride of Jesus Christ that's put on a hill. We can't hide our light under a bushel. No, we are out here in a place where nobody sees us from the street out here. If you drive by, you'll never see the building there. But I'm here to tell you, they see you. They see you in the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you work, the way you conduct yourself. Remember these things. Have the faith. Having your faith and you presenting your faith and you testifying what God did in your life, you can inspire somebody else to believe. Me? Yes. You. How many times did the Lord do a miracle in your life and you never tell anybody about it? How many times did God do something for you and you never talked about it? We used to have testimony services years ago. I miss those. I'd love to have just a good old testimony service. I remember having some testimony service and there'd be sisters come up there that never say a peep. And I'll tell you who one of them was, and that was, well, she was one that didn't say a peep. I won't say her name, but boy, she laughed. But she liked to praise the Lord, you know. But you talk about God ever gave testimony. And I'm telling you what, I was like, oh my goodness. God did this in her life? God did this in her life? God did this in her life? We talked about giants a while ago. There's the bad giants, but we've got some good giants. We've got some giants of the faith for people that have walked this faith. One of the biggest giants that I think everybody in this room will agree with is Sister Pansy. A mountain. My sister, I want to say God bless you. Because year after year, her steadfast walk. And something that we can take notice of is every time y'all answer that prayer, there'll be a request come right up here and say, God answered my prayer.
Amen.
God answered my prayer. I think we should take a listen to our elders.
Amen.
I think we should take notice and say, you know what? That's how people know about it, is people talk about it. I don't want to hold this much longer. So let's all stand. I'll get one more rest of me to you. If I can find it here. I'll read one scripture. You don't have to pull it up. I'll just read it to you. Unless you get it up real quick. It's Matthew 17, 14 through 21. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to your place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. And this one last quote, and then we'll close. Sin's judgment is to take life. Now, notice how people can look and see how that we believe so supremely on the blood of Jesus. Jesus, I used to think, was a Jew. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was the blood of God, see? God the Father overshadowed the Virgin Mary and created the blood cell in the womb that brought the Son, Jesus Christ. You see what I mean? The blood cell comes out of the male. Now, catch what I'm saying on this quote. Like the hen can lay the egg, but it isn't fertile unless she's been with a male bird. And I've often said this, not for a joke, because I don't believe in a platform, but an expression.
You can take an old mother bird and lay a nest full of eggs. She can hover them, she can turn them, she can be so loyal with them until she sets on the nest, till she gets so poor she can't fly off the nest. So loyal to those eggs. But unless that mother bird has been with a male bird, they'll never hatch. They'll never fertile. That's the way it is with a lot of churches today. You can get a bunch of people, you can baby them, this and that, the other, whatever you want to do, but if they haven't been with Jesus Christ and been born again, you can just sit, you just got a nest full of rotten eggs. It's time to clean out and get a hold of something or somebody who's been in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and been born again. You'll never be able to get them to believe in the supernatural because there's nothing in them to believe with. Amen? Now, that's not skim milk. Look, a man must be born again by the Spirit of God, and then the Spirit of the Creator comes into the individual and claims relationship as son. You see it? Then that person is an offspring of God. And God, who spoke the world into existence, this man's an offspring of him. He can believe anything. All things are possible to him, for he believes he's a part of God. He's a son of God or a daughter of God. When you've been with Jesus Christ, that Spirit comes inside you. You can confront him as son or daughter. You can confront him in that manner, in that capacity, and you can confront him with an authority. You're not coming to him as a stranger. You're not coming to him as somebody. You know, we're talking about a God that you walk with on a daily basis. And I asked a while ago, how many of you got a mountain that you need moved? How many of you have you got something that, see, Brother Daniel, I need this out of the way. I don't care if you've asked 150 times, make this 151. Amen. You knock and say, I don't want my children. Amen. You knock and say, I want perfect health. Oh, I don't want no more diabetes. I don't claim any of this stuff. I don't want no depression. I want the Holy Ghost in my life. I want peace. I want joy. You knock on that door and say, God, I'm speaking to my mountain today, and I want you to move in. Let's all hit every head bowed. Let's just confront God this morning. And by the time you feel welcome to come anytime, brother, when you're ready. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, to the best of my little capability that I have, Lord, I want to present, Lord, of how that you are on the ship, Lord. Lord God, and there may seem like the revivals, fires have died. It may look that way to some person's eyes, Lord. But God, I know without a shadow of a doubt, you are still here. You are still among your people, O God. You are still the God that answers prayer. You are still a God that heals the sick. They're already healed, God. Lord, you're still the God among us, Lord, that can say, peace be still in the midst of a storm. Lord God, and there's hands, Lord, that have gone up across the building, God, and they say, I've got a need, Brother Daniel. I've got this mountain in front of me. And though I may have asked 150 times, I'm here today, I'm knocking. And I'm saying, God, I need this mountain moved. God, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, that you would bring that faith of a mustard seed in manifestation. Bring it in action today, God. Lord God, may that faith come in action. Lord God, let it not sit dormant on a shelf, oh God, collecting dust, Lord God. But Lord Jesus, may we start fulfilling the purpose that you've called us for of manifesting that light, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you walk the aisle. God, that you would knock on every heart here today, Lord Jesus. Lord God, you see the hands have gone up, Lord, the needs behind those hands, Lord. We look at you by faith. We're not coming as a blind person looking for feelings, looking for emotions. But God, we're touching you by the hem of your garment this morning, God, and saying, Lord God, move this mountain, Lord. Lord God, there's souls that have left the church, oh God. Lord God, I cast my net of faith out this morning. I ask you, Lord, to tug at their hearts, Lord. Your word said you won't lose a one of them. Lord God, and we're going to cross that. There will not be a hoof left behind. I ask you, Jesus, meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, hallelujah.
We sing that song together. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah, he's here. I'm talking about a God this morning that answers prayer. Talk about a God this morning that you can say to this mountain, be moved. Anyway, if you don't mind, turn this on. Can't you see why I'm so happy to go? I've accepted the Lord.
Sickness in my body that I had for years, and the Lord healed me of it. And then here recently to have it crop back up. And, you know, Satan wants you to think, well, you failed somewhere along the way or whatever. And Satan wants you to think that whenever you fall or you fall short or you make a mistake or something like that, he wants to make you think you've got to go all the way back, right, way back wherever.
No.
And start all the way, kind of like a board game or something. Well, you messed up, you got to go back to the starting line. But here's the thing. If you're out there on the battlefield and you fall, you get back up.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
If you get back up, the enemy hasn't stopped you. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When you fall, where do you fall? Do you fall there, or do you fall at the finish line, or the starting line? Mm-hmm. You fall there. And when you get back up, where do you get back up at? There, or at the starting line?
Right.
You get back up right there.
Amen.
So by faith, what I'm trying to get to is that by faith, all things are possible. And by faith, I don't care what your failure, how much you've had a lack of faith, or whatever. Once you catch that faith from God in His Word, He takes all that that's behind you, and it's all gone, and you're still on the battlefield for the Lord, still making progress. Amen? We believe that. Amen. You know, Brother Ram was telling about the woman. She was, riding a wagon with horses, and the horses ran away. Something spooked them, and they ran away. And she said, they said, "What'd you do?" And she said, "Well, I trusted in the Lord until the reins or the lines broke." And Brother Ram said, "Well, that's the time that you really need to trust the Lord."
That's right.
So this showed that she really didn't have faith because she was really trusting in the reins. But you see, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where there is no reins. Mm-hmm. We're going to find a place in our life eventually where the reins break. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Has to be. Because as long as we're trusting in this, as long as we're trusting in the doctor, as long as we're trusting in society, as long as we're trusting in all that, we're not really there yet.
That's right.
You see? So God just wants us to go ahead and accept His truth and get right out there where, you know, He can do what He promised He can do, and everything's on the right thing. And so, you know, Brother Daniel was talking about what I said the other day about when my wife would text me, and sometimes I do the same thing for her, and she'd tell me she loves me, and I'd write back and say, "Me?" She's the one that did it first, I think. But I say, "Me?" She'd say, "Yes, you." And that's what Brother Daniel was talking about. The Lord speaking to you and saying, "Yes, you. You can have the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. You can. It's not for somebody else." It's like that story of the Armour meat packing guy. We all familiar with that story, you know. But that little woman, you know, she was a nobody in her mind. And she had all them fancy cousins and everything standing out there all dressed nice and everything. And they're thinking this Armour meatpacking son's going to take, you know, come to find him a wife. And to the way that everybody looks like at it, they're looking at, you know, "Oh, it's going to be one of these cousins." But that's not what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for the glamour. He wasn't looking for the somebodies, the way the world would call it. He was looking for somebody that had character. And when she was walked out there to throw the dishwater out, probably barefooted, wearing a dress all dirty from doing chores all day long, you can imagine. Mm-hmm. When I think of that, I think of the house I grew up in, the chores that had to be done, and the food and the dress. At the end of the day, you could tell that work had been done. She probably walked out there, and I'm familiar with throwing the dishwater out the back door. We had to do that. You know, we had to wash dishes in a pan. And we'd throw it out, and the ground would be all gray where we'd throw that dishwater out. But she stepped out there to throw that dishwater out, and there he was standing there. And when he said to her, "Will you marry me?" You know, she probably did this. Mm-hmm. "Are you talking to me?" Mm-hmm. There's got to be somebody else around here, Brother Daniel. He's surely not talking to me.
No.
But he is. Mm-hmm. See? Somebody's going to be by his side as the bride of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Right? Somebody's going to do it. And you know what? I choose to believe it's us.
Amen.
Because I hear his voice saying, "Will you marry me?"
Yes.
See, I hear him saying, "Yes, you." And when we all do that same thing, and me, God would heal me. I mean, I've made so many mistakes. Why would he do that for me? Right? That means he's done that.
Yes.
See? But he's talking to you. Today, he's talking to you. You can have it. No more high blood pressure. Right? No more headaches. No more backache. No more back pains. No more constipation. None of those things. See? Whatever you have, you can give it to him today. And you know what? There's no reason, because we don't find any reason right here where you have to pack it.
That's right.
Right? And I say in my own mind, just in my own, and say, Lord, I'll bear in my body whatever you want me to. However long you want me to, it doesn't matter. If you never heal me, I want to serve you anyway, but by your stripes I'm healed.
Yes.
Right? And if it doesn't happen in this life, and it's when I'm done, I by his stripes I'm healed, right? Because ultimately that's what ultimate healing is when this thing has to change completely. But there's nothing here that says that you have to pack it. You keep confessing God according to his word, what he has told us, and it'll make a difference. You know, Brother Daniel was talking about, you know, he's talking about me being a minister here and pastor of the church. But I don't want to miss this opportunity to tell you that it's also the support ministries that make a big difference. Because I can't do everything. And it wouldn't be God's program if I was doing everything. We are a body. We are a body of believers, and we have something special. I know that. And I know the devil knows that too. But you know, we are a blessed people to have what we have together. And so I just want to take the time. And you know what? Each one of you have a special ministry that supports this church.
Yeah.
We believe that. And I'm not just saying that, because I know what goes on in my own heart. And I know how blessed I feel whenever I see you come in. And I see you week after week continuing to fight the fight of faith and believe and be a part of this group. And so it is a blessing. Brother Daniel was also talking about sanctifying your time and so forth. And I've mentioned this in the past. You know, this church, a building, a place sanctified. You know, Brother Bram said sanctify is cleaned up and set apart. Well, it's got to be set apart for something. And so sanctifies is to be cleaned up and set apart for God. This building is for God. This is a place for him to come and for us to come and for us to meet with him. It's sanctified for that purpose. It's not for football. It's not for all kinds of other stuff. It's for God.
Yep.
And the only way that this building and this place can be sanctified is if we make sure that it's that way.
That's right.
That we say to ourselves, you know, we're not going to talk about nonsense in here. We're not going to, you know, joke and all that. We're not going to do that because this is for God.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you can do that with your own life.
That's
you can
right.
say, you know what, in my own home, that's a place where God's going to live, and we're not going to put up with a bunch of nonsense in a place that we sanctify for him. This is for him, and we're not going to have anything else other than that. And you've got to do that in your own life.
Amen.
These eyes are for him to see
Amen.
Through. And we're not going to use these eyes to look at something else that we should. We're not going to use these ears to hear something we shouldn't hear. We're not going to let thoughts go through our mind that should not be in our mind. Because this mind is for him. This is for his words. And my words are not going to be speaking something contrary to his words. My voice and my words are sanctified for him. For his use. See? But the only way that that will happen in you is if you do that. You've got to sit and drive your stake in the ground and say, I'm not going to let something else take over my life. I am for him. I bought with a price. And I am his, and he's the one that's going to use this body.
Amen.
Amen? But the key to that, what a takeaway from what I'm trying to tell you is, you're the one that makes that happen.
That's right.
And if you'll sanctify your life to him, I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you, but his word, he'll be there.
That's right.
He'll be there. Sanctify a prayer closet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you sit around, you got a room in your house, and you sit around just the daily, you know, conversations of, you know, whatever it is, pick somewhere else and say, this is where I meet God. And I'm not gonna sit here in this chair and carry on joking and having fun or whatever and then turn around and expect to pray in this chair and you kneel in this chair. Sanctify it. Have that place. Amen? And do the same with your thoughts and your life, your body. And you'll see that there will be a difference. And then Brother Daniel talked about the house of peace. And the thought come to me, you know, in Islam, which is a, you know, it's a belief that's different than ours. I'll put it that way, contrary that we believe to the Bible. But they have what they call the two houses of Islam, the house of peace and the house of war. And it is in their belief system that that when they have taken over a city or a country or a territory, and they have that in total Islamic control, that becomes a house of peace to them. But any country, any border that they're against, that they have not conquered, that's the house of war. And I said all that to say this, if your house, your tabernacle is not the house of peace, it will be the house of war. Because Satan is a great void. Amen. So we want to make sure that we're filled with the Spirit of God, filled with His Word. It goes back to the Psalm. Fill me up so there's nothing left. There's no place for anything else. Just the Lord Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. Amen. And so always remember this. He said, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, and I ask you, are you asking? Don't stop asking.
Right.
Are you seeking? Don't stop seeking.
Right.
Are you knocking? Don't stop knocking. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Let's just give the Lord an applause for this. Let's sing a song. It is by His grace, by His love, by His word.
It's by His grace.
Song, and in your mind, Satan will tell you, don't you say, I'll never fail.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you say such a positive statement like that. But you know, the message, the Word of God, and thank God for the message to take and shine a light on that Word to show us that there's something down inside you that is God. It is the gene of God. And that's what makes you His son and daughter of God. And that lay dormant until the Word of God came across you and quickened that. And now you know something else is alive in you that says amen to the Word. In your mind, you miss it sometimes. In your mind and in your flesh, you fail it. But there's always something down inside there now that you know is alive that says amen to the Word. And here's what the Scripture said, that he that's born of God, that quickened life,
right.
See, he that's born of God doth not sin. He cannot sin because he's born of God.
Right.
Now, if you take it the way the world shows you and tells you that, that don't make sense because, oh, we're all failures. That's right. But you see, when you begin to identify with the Word, what it says, that down inside you, that he who's born of God doth not commit sin. He that's born of God will prevail.
Right.
Right? He that's born of God hath never failed. Right? He that's born of God will overcome.
Right.
Not your thinking. And so all I want to say is our whole Christian life is to learn how to put all that away.
Right.
And begin to confess and live and walk by that born of God person that's down inside. By faith in that, you can say, I will prevail.
Yeah.
Amen. That means you'll have troubles today, tomorrow, whatever, but you can always say, I will prevail, I'll never fail, I'll overcome.
Right.
And when this life is done, I'll stand there with him throughout eternity as a trophy of his grace. Amen. Because I am born of his life. Amen. Let's sing this again as we go.